Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Kevin! You're stupid.
Hey friends, welcome to episode 491 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. I am Kevin Huntsberger, your host. I am going solo this week. It's been another one of those crazy weeks. Wasn't able to line up schedules, and honestly, the weekend got here before I knew it, and then plans going on. And so I decided to call an audible and do a Wrestling Under the Influence. I will probably have some videos up next week, some more content, getting some things out there on the YouTube channel. So if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to the My 1-2-3 Cents YouTube channel. Be sure to check out the My 1-2-3 Cents Facebook group going on right now. Is the Enhancement Talent Mania, Enhancement Talent Madness. It is a spoof of March Madness. We're down to, as you're listening to this or watching this, we're down to the finals. And I'm not sure who those are going to be just yet because voting ends on Sunday. And I will be posting the final matchup and we'll vote on Monday and probably announce the winner then on Tuesday. So be sure, if you haven't already, to join the group. It is a private group, and vote on who should win Enhancement Talent Madness. Thank you to everyone who has already participated and done that. And if you are watching on video, you see behind me something you probably have never seen on the video here before in the background for the podcast. And I actually searched, which is all the more reason for doing this podcast. It's an appreciation for Rey Mysterio, one of the all-time greats, not only in WWE, but in all of professional wrestling. I have a Rey Mysterio mask behind me that we picked up in Mexico back in 2010. But we are going to do this as a Wrestling Under the Influence. And I bought that mask initially for my son, who at the time was a wrestling fan, but was a huge, huge fan of Rey Mysterio. And we had decorated his room in wrestling. He had Rey Mysterio action figure. We've since, you know, he kind of outgrew it all and wanted to get rid of it all. So I donated all the Jax. This was back in the Jax era of figures. Gave all of those to my buddy Dan Turnquist, who makes custom action figure belts, and then he uses those figures and does some customizing with those as well. So all of the Jack specific that we weren't like, you know, behind me, as you see with my LJNs, and I've got some Hasbros that I was kind of more emotionally attached to, so I didn't want to get rid of those. But to make space and make room for my collection, and then if I pick up a thing here or there, I did purge the Jack specific, which he only had about 12 or so figures. But I digress, and I'm going to be talking about, as we talk about Rey Mysterio, I decided, to do a Wrestling Under the Influence. This is a brew called PDC. It's a Mexican lager with the lime juice and zest, and it is made by Little Beaver Brewing. Little Beaver Brewing out of Bloomington, Illinois. And I actually had their beer for the first time back in January, and I absolutely loved it. We ate there. We ate lunch there. The food was amazing. The vibe was fantastic. My daughter is going to be going to school in that area, and I can't wait to go visit her to go and get. And I picked up several cans, different types of Little Beaver. So, because they don't sell it here locally in Southern Illinois, and I hope that changes one day too, because they have, I think our waitress told us they do 400 different beers every year. That's amazing. And I look forward to trying this one because I had one there. We did it, drank it in honor of Groundhog Day. But this is Again, it's PDC. It's a Mexican lager. The artwork on the can, if you're watching, I love all of their cans. They have this beaver mascot, of course, and then they incorporate him doing different things. And this can artwork is done by Patty Young. So for me, when I'm picking out beers that I'm not familiar with at a liquor store, the can art always goes a long way. This is a 5% according to Untappd. 5% ABC or ABV rather, alcohol by volume. See there, it's a nice pour. Has a nice cerveza aroma to it. Wow, this is great. And I was actually contemplating recording this one and doing a pool cast and doing it out by the pool. This is the perfect beer that you would want. Sipping it outside by the pool, floating around on a lazy summer day. It's spring here in Southern, well, it's spring everywhere in the United States at least. But it is spring, still April here in Southern Illinois. You wouldn't expect to be outside and enjoying the weather, but it's in the 80s. This would have been perfect to be sitting outside, sipping and drinking. So definitely going to give this one a 3 count. And as you know, if you've watched other Wrestling Under the Influences, a 3 count is a winner. It is a great, great brew. Again, shout out to Little Beaver Brewing Company in Bloomington, Illinois. If you're ever in the area, check it out. It is great stuff. So we're going to talk more about Rey Mysterio as well. And, you know, actually my very first memory of Rey Mysterio is Rey Mysterio Sr., who is the uncle of Rey Mysterio. I was at Starrcade 90. It was held in St. Louis that year. And I was a senior in high school. My buddy Jim and I got tickets to Starrcade. And it was the first time I'd ever gone to a wrestling pay-per-view. I'd been to a handful of house shows in the past, WWF and a few NWA shows. But we got tickets to go to Starrcade. And this is the year of the Black Scorpion. And, you know, it wasn't the best show, but the vibe, again, being, I talked about it last week with Chad, the vibe of being at a pay-per-view versus just a standard house show is different. You know, the TV cameras are there. You get all the ring announcers and commentators, and you get to see guys that you maybe not always get to see at a house show. And Starrcade was like that. But the other unique thing about this particular year at Starrcade was the year that they did, it was an international tag team tournament that the Steiners eventually won. But one of the teams in there, was a Mexican team, and I forget who his partner was, but Rey Mysterio Sr. was a part of that. And that's actually Rey Mysterio that we know. That's his uncle, not his father. But I didn't really pay that much attention at the time, but in the years that followed and I learned more about Rey Mysterio, I found out that was his uncle. And I think for a long time, though, I did think that it was his father, and Chad may have been the one to correct me on that. But my first memories of Rey, I believe, were coming in those early days of ECW. I think, someone correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like I saw him on an ECW show at one point. But then, obviously, once Nitro got big and exploded, he was a big part of that presentation. And I didn't appreciate him enough at the time. You know, I was still in that mindset of bigger is better, not, you know, necessarily like King Kong Bundy and Giant Gonzalez, bigger is better, but, you know, staying in Lex Luger and Hulk Hogan and, the Ultimate Warrior, those kinds of characters were still resonating with me. The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin were catching fire by that point. So I was paying more attention to the WWF side at the time, but I was watching and flipping back and forth. And I appreciated, maybe appreciate is not the right word. I was respectful, I'll say that, of what the luchadors and the cruiserweights were doing, but I wasn't a fan of it. It didn't resonate with me. It didn't click with me. I didn't dislike it, but I wasn't crazy about it, if that makes sense. And so not trying to come off as being disrespectful to any of them, because now, you know, 25 plus years later, certainly have a whole new respect and appreciation for all forms of wrestling, even the ones that I don't necessarily like or wasn't a fan of as a younger man and as a kid. But yeah, Rey Mysterio definitely blazed a trail and was one of those guys that just stood out above everyone else, even though he was the shortest one in the ring, typically the smallest guy in the ring. He was the biggest in presentation, in stature, in memorability. 25 plus years later, he is still doing things. And I think kind of what maybe triggered this a little bit too was watching SmackDown this past Friday night and the match that he had with AJ Styles. And God, I've already forgotten who the third participant in that match was. But just seeing Rey in action at, you know, the pace that he goes at still, and, you know, we're about a year and a half apart in age. Just it's great seeing him in there and the work that he's done with Dominic over the past few years, you know, doing the tag team thing at first and then the feud that they've had and then that kind of rekindling at WrestleMania. His work, though, on Nitro, on those WCW pay-per-views, you know, opening up the show, being a part of the show, being a part of that presentation, was always a big deal. And the matches that he had with Eddie Guerrero, I think one of my favorites, and I know a lot of people reference that Halloween Havoc 1997. And I, you know, back then I was not watching WCW pay-per-views on a regular basis, would catch bits and pieces of them. But yes, that was a great match. I have a very fond memory of his match with Eddie Guerrero from WrestleMania 21. Of course, their ladder match at SummerSlam for the custody of Dominic. They were just great in the ring. And I feel like when Rey and Eddie came to the WWF, WWE, they were put on an even higher pedestal. While they got a lot of TV time and visibility in WCW, and Eric Bischoff and the creative team there putting the luchadors out there and making them, you know, the LWO and making the whole presentation, you know, part of, or the different than part of what we were seeing on Raw and eventually SmackDown, I think cemented WCW's legacy as well. And in turn, the legacy of those luchador stars and of those cruiserweights like Rey, like Eddie, like La Parca and Juventud Guerrero and Chavo Guerrero. And so those guys got the rub, so to speak. And I think that Rey helped to lead that charge. And then when he came to the WWE and was different than we were seeing. And I know, you know, Chad and I talked about this on a podcast. It was either WrestleMania episodes that we were doing. And, you know, he kind of thought that the death of Eddie Guerrero was exploited a bit with Rey Mysterio and his run and his victory. And while I agree with him on the fact that I don't think Rey would have probably ever necessarily been a serious contender for the WWE or the World Heavyweight Championships, I think that the way they did it, I liked it, and I think it worked, and it became believable. You know, there was a time where you'd see Rey standing in there with Kevin Nash or, you know, one of these giants, you know, and it you do have to suspend your belief for a little bit. But that's what wrestling is about, you know, that David and Goliath story. And Rey is one of those guys that just, to me, it always, you know, and as I've gotten older and watched and appreciated more of what the men and women do in the ring, it just, to me, makes it a more enjoyable experience. And we were there, you know, we were fortunate enough to be there. It was our first WrestleMania. Chad and I and our buddy Jeremy went to Chicago for that first WrestleMania of ours, WrestleMania 22. And it was midway through the card. It wasn't the main event. I think it could have been. They could have closed the show with it and given them a little bit more time. But Kurt Angle and Rey Mysterio and you know, feeling the need to put Randy Orton in there too, I think that Kurt Angle and Rey Mysterio could have had a great singles match. You know, they had been in there against each other. Rey's pay-per-view debut was at SummerSlam in 2002. And while he lost that, this could have, you know, they could have used that as part of the story too. but Ray got the pin on Randy Orton. And maybe that's why Randy was injected into the match, so Kurt didn't have to take the pin. I don't know. I'm not getting into the politics of it all, but I do think that Kurt Angle and Rey Mysterio had some great chemistry. And, you know, Randy was fine being in that match as well. Ray would eventually, you know, he didn't hold the title for a very long time. And quite honestly, I can't even remember who he lost it to. You know, we talk about how our memories all become, I could, you know, if Ray would have won the championship in 86, I could have easily told you who he then lost it to. And I'm sure someone will chime in and correct me. And, you know, the point of this podcast, if you're new here, I don't invest a terrible amount of time into research. I like to go off of my memories and talk more about the retro. And I'm guessing 2006, I mean, it's been almost 20 years. It's not technically probably classic or retro, but to me, it was far back enough in the machine to go and look back on and talk a little bit about it. So yeah, I didn't look to see the championship runs. I do remember he won the WWE championship and held it just throughout Raw before losing it back to John Cena. They were telling that story, I think at the time with CM Punk, during that Summer of Punk. But, you know, Ray is one of those guys. He did go away for a bit and then he came back, and I feel like he came back just as good and just as memorable. I do think during the WCW era, one of the biggest fumbles with him, probably one of the biggest fumbles of all time, was unmasking him. I think that, you know, obviously that mask behind me, it wasn't bought at a WWE event. It was bought at a vendor in Mexico, but it's the Rey Mysterio style of mask. And having that as the marketing tool, getting behind some of these figures, to me, you know, it adds the pizzazz, it adds the wow factor of this guy that's in there doing these amazing things. And he looks really, really cool and awesome, like an action figure come to life, or a superhero come to life. And that's the other thing I love about Ray is his variety of costumes that he wears at pay-per-views. You know, we talked about that Halloween Havoc match where I think he was dressed I don't know my superheroes or whatnot enough, but, you know, it was that purple costume with all the question marks. Is that the Riddler? I don't know. But anyway, don't hate me for not knowing that. But, you know, 1 year we saw him at WrestleMania, and pretty sure he had on like a Captain America look. I think he's done he's done these superhero inspired looks, and it just goes along so well. And then watching him on TV last year get inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. And I typically don't like my current active roster in the Hall of Fame, but, you know, as iconic as he was, I'm glad he got his flowers while he was still here with us and able to enjoy it and get those accolades and, you know, pay homage to his family, to his wife who has supported him through the years. But, he's just a unique individual and one of those guys, again, that I did not respect enough in the era that he was coming up and really active and a part of that presentation. And who knows? You know, I probably do have a bit of a WWE bias. So had he been started off in WWE, maybe I would have given him a closer look or a better look or whatever in those early days. But yeah, and the fact that my kid enjoyed him so much, and we kind of, that was our, you know, bonding over wrestling. You know, he got to see Rey Mysterio. He got to talk about Rey Mysterio and watch Rey Mysterio. So that always mattered and made a difference for us as well. So I think that, again, one of those talents that does get talked about a lot now, but I think there was a long time that he was underappreciated, probably even looked down upon by some of his peers in the business, that he wasn't totally respected and whatnot. But I feel like he has more than proven himself and has held his own. He's a legend. He's in a class all by himself. And he really did pave the way for fellow luchadors. And I love that they've kind of injected new life into the LWO, and he's working with a lot of young talented superstars who with him and Carlito, I feel like they can kind of take under their wings and help nourish and blossom and create a new line, a new future of superstars. So I really thought, though, at WrestleMania this past year that he was going to lose that match. He and Andrade were going to lose that match to Dominic and Escobar. But I love the fact that Jason Kelsey and I only know the popular names, and I'm sure the other guy was popular too, but the other Eagles player, I love that they wore the Eagles masks and came in. And I was told, I knew Jason Kelsey was going to show up at some point. It didn't even click when I'm like, well, those are somebody, they're too big to not be somebody. And it did not click until they unmasked that it was them. So yes, 51-year-old me was surprised, and I did pop out loud and laugh. My wife is a Kelsey fan of both Jason and Travis. So she was sitting there, and she actually stopped scrolling on her phone and looked up and watched. And so it was a cool moment. And I love that Jason Kelsey got to have that moment with Rey Mysterio, who is a bona fide legend, as we have clearly established here on this week's episode. So what are your thoughts on Rey Mysterio? What are your favorite matches? You know, I would assume just as the years go on and he's, you know, 49 years old, at the pace that he had gone at for so many years, you know, I love the fact that he's still in there and doing it and continues to go at breakneck speed. But injuries have hit him recently too. So I don't know that he'll ever fully retire, but I love being able to see him and get in there and have some great matches and help with the next generation and help groom and help those other superstars develop and continue to grow and nurture them along the way as well. So let me know your thoughts on Rey Mysterio. You know, he's one of those guys that has done it all in the WWE and really a global phenomenon who should definitely tip our hats, tip our masks to Rey Mysterio as we celebrate him. And again, one last shout out to my friends at Little Beaver Brewing Company, PDC. I've got 3 more cans, different holiday themes. So we'll be drinking those throughout the year. Probably not here on this podcast specifically, but we'll have them on my TikTok as long as TikTok is still around and Instagram as well. So friends, thank you so much for joining for this week's episode. We will be back next week, probably the Black Bart interview with Vinnie Barry. We'll see about that. But cheers in the meantime. Have a great week, and we will talk again soon.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.